morning, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Obsidian Achievement. This is your host, Michael Russin. Thank you for joining me, and welcome back to another episode. It is a Tuesday. I'm on my way to the gym. It's a beautiful morning here in Maine. I started my day. I woke up pretty early, right around 5, and cooked the whole family breakfast, steak and eggs, pancakes, made myself some black coffee. I always put a, well, not black, I always put a little bit of raw milk in it. And then I'm trying a new nicotine administration method. And I smoked a cig. So I'm like, I don't know. The Zins just don't do it for me. I think I'm going to go back to probably regular chew. The Zins just don't do it for me, man. I don't know what it is. I don't know. Do I need to put in more? I don't want to get sick, ruin my whole morning. So instead, I smoked a Marbret, like 3/4 of it. So I'm not going to start like smoking, but I figured this is the way I look at it. This country was built on black coffee and cigarettes. The other day I was making bacon. It was Sunday morning, actually. I was making Canadian bacon, which is amazing, for my family before church. And I'm like, you know what? And I had a black coffee I was sipping on while I was cooking. I'm like, dude, you know what? You know what would go, you know what would go great with this? Is a cigarette. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to start smoking cigs in the morning. So I'll let you guys know how that goes. I got a nice little buzz from it. So I'm feeling that I got that acetylcholine. Got that acetylcholine rush in my brain right now. So yeah, I had a cigarette this morning. See if this affects my cardio at all. But I was thinking this morning about revenge. I was thinking this morning about revenge. And not about taking revenge, but on, you know, just a philosophical and spiritual conversation with myself about revenge. When is it justified? What does the Bible have to say about it? You know, I just going through things philosophically. You know, I was thinking in my head, at what point do you take revenge against somebody? And you know, is it ever justified? Like I just said. So, you know, I think biblically, and God says it several times that, you know, vengeance is His, that we aren't supposed to take revenge ourselves. I was thinking yesterday about Mari, that priest that got stabbed. Well, the dude got, thank God, so this Muslim guy tried to stab a pretty famous priest in Australia, and the knife didn't, like, it must have been like a switchblade. The knife, the blade didn't come out, which is crazy. So I think he just kind of beat him up a little bit, the priest, and, you know, before he got attacked and brought to the ground. But, you know, about 5,000 Christians stormed the police headquarters where this guy was being held at, or the church, I'm sorry, where this guy was being detained by police. Demanding that he be brought out so that they could hang him. And part of me was really excited about that. And, you know, Andrew Tate got on yesterday and he basically said he's thrilled that Christians are finally getting pissed off. You know, Christians built the West. Universities, hospitals, and people will say that, you know, Christianity brought about the Dark Ages. It's just so historically inaccurate to suggest that Christianity has retarded any sort of scientific progress where it's actually facilitated it. But, you know, anyways, you know, Tate was talking about how he's finally, he's excited that Christians are finally getting upset. They're finally getting fired up. And I had to agree with him. And I made a long post yesterday on my Facebook and my Instagram about how impotent, weak, effeminate, gay Christianity has turned a lot of men off. It turned me off for 3 years. You know, I walked away from my faith for 3 years. You know, I always knew in my heart, but I got very angry at the church because I saw them as weak. I saw weak people, you know, that go in on a Sunday and they cry, God's going to save you and make this all better. And, you know, people be just the crying and the sobbing and the emotions. And then they leave and they go back to their lives and they do nothing. You know what I mean? I didn't see a whole lot of charity or volunteer work. I didn't see people doing what we're called to do, which is take care of the elderly, take care of the, you know, the disadvantaged and the disabled. And, you know, I didn't see evangelizing. There's not many churches. They do like a couple of charities a year and then they sponsor a missionary and that's it. So impotent is the word that comes to mind when I think about the modern church, right? And it's the modern church isn't the actual church. There's plenty of buildings with plenty of people that are not, that call themselves churches, but are not part of the church. You know, we've allowed homosexuals to take up positions of leadership within our churches, which is ridiculous. That'd be like having somebody that was living in open alcoholism and drug abuse being a pastor or a preacher. We've allowed women to be preachers, which is a direct violation of what Paul admonishes in Timothy. It's a direct violation of the Word of God. We've allowed ourselves to be told that we should be tolerant and nice. Because Jesus was nice. Jesus was not nice. The world, which hates Jesus, has sold us a weak, watered-down, hippie-like version of him to intentionally subvert us and lead us to believe that we should sit by idly while the world around us crumbles. Jesus stormed a synagogue and whipped people and tossed tables over and threw them out of the church because they were treating it like a merchant square. Jesus was not nice. He was not nice. He met sinners where they were. He broke bread with them, but he called them to repentance. He didn't affirm their lifestyle choices. Yet you have a version of Jesus that's preached that's not Jesus at all. So anyways, I was thinking about revenge. And there's been many times in my life recently, especially over the last 3 years, where I've wanted to take revenge on people that have done things that are cruel, dirty, have said things that are wildly untrue or over-exaggerated. And there's been many times I've wanted to take revenge and have been in a position to do so. And it's very tempting. It's like, it's I've been tempted with that more than I've been tempted with anything in the past 3-4 years of my life. And it's very attractive. Revenge is very, very attractive. Because what I struggle with is if we had a justice system that was just, if criminals were truly punished for their crime, I wouldn't feel such an urge. You know, like the guy that stabbed Mari, you know what I mean? Tried to stab this priest. I fear that he is going to be given a nice cushy jail cell, 3 meals a day. He'll live better than most people on the streets live. He'll probably have a defense that comes out and, oh, it's his mental health. His mental health. You can't put him in a max security. He's just a little misguided brown boy from the desert. Muslim, he's marginalized, Islamophobia, blah, 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 blah. So I think about all this stuff, and I'm like, should those Christians have dragged him out of that church and hung him in the street? And I'm so split down the middle. I don't have an answer today, so I'm not here to give you an answer. I'm here to just talk and challenge you to think. Part of me is like, yeah, those guys should have dragged him out into the streets and beat him nearly to death and then hung him from a tree, for sure. Set an example. And then the other part of me is that the right thing to do? Is that the right thing to do? I know at some point here in the coming years, I'm going to be faced with tough decisions where I'm going to either have to turn the other cheek or take vengeance. And I wrestle with this all day, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. You know, and I think about, you know, if somebody were to hurt my family, you know what I mean? If somebody were to hit my wife, would I kill them? You know, is that, as Christians, are we supposed to just, if somebody hits your wife, do you just stand by idly and let it, oh, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord? I don't believe that. In my gut, I don't think that that's the answer. So it's like, what do you take revenge for? What's the limit? Where is the, okay, when is it enough is enough? Now it's time to take revenge. Now it's not time to take revenge. You guys understand what I'm trying to say? I don't know. And this is why I desperately need a spiritual father. I don't have one. I don't have a spiritual mentor. That's why I need somebody to bounce these ideas off of. But I just don't trust people. I've had people give me suggestions. Oh, you should talk to this guy. Oh, you should talk to this guy. And I start to talk to him and I start to dig into their life a little bit. And I just see all kinds of red flags. It's just, I haven't been able to find somebody yet that I would respect enough. Because I need somebody to tell me if something's right or wrong, even if I don't like the answer. And if I don't like the answer and I don't like them, I'm not going to listen to them. But if I really like and respect them, but I don't like their answer, I'm going to listen to them because I like and respect them and I trust them. But revenge is, you know, what if somebody killed your whole family and you had an opportunity to take their life? You know what I mean? At what point? Because justice needs to happen. The world can't function without justice. So when the system fails, you know, I think about these migrants that are raping people and getting off with no jail time. What are we supposed to do as men? Do we just allow that to happen? I think about, there's been an African guy up here in Maine. Like 15 women have come forward and said that he basically stalked them, takes pictures of them, followed them to their cars and Walmart parking lots and things like this. Even women with children. He's followed around and stalked, and, you know, he's been reported to the Biddeford Police Department a handful of times now. And their answer is always the same. There's nothing they can do. You know, he hasn't committed a crime yet. He's got, one cop said he's just got bad game. He's got bad game. That's what they said. Wait someday when this guy rapes somebody or kidnaps somebody. Like, do we just sit around and wait for that to happen? Or do we do something about it? Do we confront this man? Do we rid our community of him? He doesn't belong here. Why is there an African guy in rural Maine stalking women? In Maine, you don't belong here. Now, I'm not saying Africans can't come to Maine. It's not. But why is there one following our women around? You don't belong here. This is not your place. So what do we do? How do we handle this? You know, child predators. sex offenders that are all in your towns. What do you do about that? What do you do about a sex offender living in your town? You just let them live a quiet life? Let him continue to jerk off to kiddie porn in his house. Let him Google and Oogle your kids as they get on the school bus. What do? I don't know the answer. That's why I'm asking you guys. This is something I struggle with a lot. I don't like to not know something. I don't like to not have a clear answer. And I know a lot of life is not having a clear answer, but I've always usually been able to figure it out. And this one, I don't know. What do you do when people do horrible things to you and say horrible things about you? Do you just let it happen? You know? Do you just, well, how many cheeks do you turn? I mean, you know, and it's, I wonder how much of like, I wonder how much of the love your neighbor as yourself is like talking about other Christians. I think about that a lot. Like, I have a gut feeling that the love the neighbor as yourself and turn the other cheek and forgive him 777 times 7 times or whatever it was. I feel like Jesus was just talking about believer to believer. I don't know that Jesus was talking about believer to unbeliever. I don't know. So, you know, what do we do about this stuff, man? How long as men do we let our world just fall apart? Violence is necessary. Violence, it's the threat of violence that holds society together. And you might be thinking, oh, no, it's not. I'm not violent. Well, that's why you have no power. That's why you can't affect any change. Because you're completely incapable of harming anybody. The threat of violence is the fabric that holds society together. Hey, don't steal my car. I might have a gun and shoot you in your effing face. You know what I mean? Hey, don't touch my wife. I might break your jaw off and beat you to death with it. You know what I mean? There's people avoid committing crimes a lot of the time because they are afraid of being hurt physically or killed. You know, there was a child predator that was talking, older guy, creepy looking guy, and they asked him how he would pick his targets, and he would always pick targets without dads, or with dads that looked weak. He said if he saw a little kid and he saw a strong father figure in that kid's life, he wouldn't go near him. Why? Because he'd get mauled. That's why. It's the fear of violence. When is that violence appropriate to use? I mean, the Old Testament's violent. You know what I mean? The Old Testament's violent. So, questions for us today to think about. All right, that's all I got. I love you guys. Have a great day. Hopefully this got you to thinking. Let me know what your thoughts are. On this episode. All right, peace.